This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You're now in the Essential Zone, where we seek to be informative, inspirational, enlightening, and dynamic. But more importantly, we seek to be fair and balanced. There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes, there comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The essentials. Serious radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation. And good evening and welcome to The Essentials. This is The Essentials, The Reset. And this evening we are taking a trip across the waters. We're going back, way back. We're going home. And we're going to do that today through the eyes, through the ears, and through the thoughts of a young man, an up-and-coming leader, a young man who I met a number of years ago via social media, and we have maintained a level of contact. And, you know, you're going to hear from him, so stay tuned. As usual, we want to hear from you. It's 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. We definitely want to have you in on this conversation. And also this evening, we are celebrating an individual who has been instrumental in our own growth and development, in my own growth and development, a teacher from the past. Her name is Miss Dillis Brown. I know her simply as Miss Brown. Recently, over the weekend, she celebrated her birthday, and I thought it would be useful to dedicate the show to her. She was born in the same month as my father, so dedicating it to both. And we will share a little bit on that, but it's certainly always a humbling pleasure to interact with your teachers, to interact with individuals who took you from zero to someplace and set you on a path where it is possible for you to grow and to develop. And, you know, in many instances, we were on a path and it was pretty much like midnight. We just couldn't see, but they were there guiding and prodding and pushing and ensuring that, and being confident too, that at some point in time, we would see the light and we would have been properly nurtured and ready to find our own way. And in some ways, we have done that. We are still a work in progress and we keep moving. We're looking at the newspaper, and certainly we're at a place where there is a bit of a consternation. The headline screams a worsening situation. Forbes, more must be done to get COVID under control. So here we go. This is the third or the fourth wave, and it seems as if there is some complication. There's going to be the Delta, the Gamma, the Beta. All of the Greeks are coming out this time, and I think we have to be very, very careful. I have heard overtures, I've heard expressions which suggest that this is now going to be a pandemic of the unvaccinated. I believe that it's only going to be one single pandemic, and it's a pandemic of all of the people, all of the human beings on Earth. And so we have to be very mindful of how we transact the narrative. I think we need to be mindful. But the most important thing to all of us out there is that we have to be careful. We have to be fully, fully careful. It is not over. And seemingly, this thing is coming back with a vengeance. We see already, based on the items put out by the PHA, that the hospitals are starting to be overwhelmed. That is the first sign of a problem. If that goes, then certainly we are going back into lockdown situation. It's going to be very, very difficult to do that, especially on the eve of potential and looming election, especially with the opening back of tourism. It's going to be very, very, very extremely difficult to make the decision to again go into some form of lockdown. But we need to be very, very careful. We need to be mindful. If the country is going to maintain some semblance of normalcy, we have to play our part. We have to make sure that we are responsible. We have to wear our mask. We have to social distance. If you have the opportunity to be vaccinated and you are so predisposed to, I'm not forcing anyone. If you believe it's not for you, then it's not for you. But if you're cool with it, then go out and get vaccinated. You're protecting yourself and you're protecting others around you. And so we really, really want to encourage all of us that, yes, we are in a moment of great uncertainty, but certainly we can reduce and mitigate the challenges that we face today by being as responsible as we can. By being as responsible as we can. Remember, when you take care of you, you take care of me. When we stand 10 feet apart or 6 feet apart, we're doing this for each other. When you wear a mask and I wear a mask, the protection is doubled. And so we want to see all of us behaving in that manner. So this is another headline from the other newspaper, the Tribune, which says, overwhelmed. Nurses, leaders say staff struggling with a stream of new COVID patients. PMH forced to restrict service as cases surge. The Prime Minister promises that he will address the COVID surge soon. And so, you know, we're in the midst of it. I'm not sure how this thing works. I'm not a scientist by any stretch of the imagination, but we must be reminded that when this started in 2019, the world started to take notice sometime around Christmas time. Are we getting back there? And is 2022 not going to deliver that which we thought it would be, where all of us would be free? We're looking forward for that moment to be free. I just spoke with a friend in Malaysia, and he's saying, you know, it's rough. And part of it is that the level of vaccination is so low, he's contemplating traveling back to Canada or traveling to the United States to see whether or not he can be vaccinated. He indicated to me that it is so stressful on some persons that the level of suicide has increased. And so we must be very, very careful. That's the only way we can protect ourselves. We understand that there's a shortage of vaccine right now in the country. Persons are having difficulty getting appointment to do so. So how else are we going to operate? We have to take the steps necessary. And so I'm admonishing you, pay attention, play your part, and let's all be safe. I think we can move forward as best as we can. Let's do that. You're listening to The Essentials, The Reset. I'm going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to get right into it with my guest who is on the live line, and he's calling in all the way from Africa. So we have to be mindful of that. I think there's about 11 o'clock or so there at this point in time. So let's take this break, and let's start the celebration as we discuss with our friend in Africa and celebrate my father and my teacher. Come right back.
Enjoy an elevated mobile experience with BTC giving you
unlimited talk for the best conversations,
unlimited data for all your online fun,
and unlimited roaming to stay connected while overseas
for just $50 per line.
Unlock unlimited mobile talk, data, and roaming when you sign up for BTC Superfast Fiber Internet with speed starting at 100 megabits per second. Enjoy more great savings and value. Upgrade or sign up today. Visit any BTC store or BTCBahamas.com. Conditions apply.
For the best jerk in the Bahamas, you must have Balu's. Pork, fish, and chicken served with our delicious country-style sauce and authentic festivals. Balu's, Nassau East South. Call or WhatsApp 376-8951. Balu's, the jerk with the soul of reggae and the spirit of Junkanoo. Balu's jerk, traditional, slow-cooked to perfection. 376-8951. Get yours today.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Girl this morning, and she was beauty to my eyes. I asked her where she from, she tell me in the tropics. She asked me what's my name, I tell her I am Connie. And I said, girl, tell me what's your name. And she tell me that her name is Jamaica. And I said, smile, girl, smile. Smile for me, Jamaica. And I said, smile, girl, smile. Ooh, Lord, smile for me, Jamaica. Never you cry, here am I. Yeah, I'm here for you, Jamaica. Dry your eyes.
Yes, smile, girl, smile. If I had to say it, I would have to say smile, lady, smile. To you, Miss Dellis Brown, smile. You know, you're an individual who always brought a smile first, and you brought great love and great joy to us. And so we want to thank you for contributing to our lives. We want to thank you for all that you have done and continue to do. You know, I had an opportunity to speak in with you this week, and it was certainly a pleasure. But without further ado, let us bring our guest. Jesse, are you there? Jesse, are you there?
Hi.
Hi. Hi. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Good evening to the Bahamas. I'm very glad to be here.
Yeah, certainly a pleasure. All the way from Nigeria. Where specifically in Nigeria are you right now, Jesse?
Borno State, northeastern Nigeria.
Northeastern Nigeria. And the name of your town, your city?
Shafa, our local government.
Say that again.
Shafa, Shafa.
Shafa. Okay. So we wanted to have you here, and I certainly want to thank you for staying up late tonight, that's late in Nigeria, to have this conversation. Jesse, I hope I don't mispronounce your name, Jesse Kanada Zoka. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and tell us about your name and the naming conventions behind your name.
All right. The name Kanadi stands for patience in the Bra language, in here in southern Borno.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm listening.
So, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Just talk up and we will listen. We'll hear you.
All right. I said the name Kanadi is my father's name. It is K-A-N-A-D-I. It's pronounced Kanadi in the Bra language here in southern part of Borno State, our local government to be precise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the name stands for patience, and then the Zoka is a clan name actually.
What do you mean by a clan name? Help us to understand that.
A clan name is more like a family name.
Mm-hmm.
Which like so many people bear it, and then most of the people that bear it are your relatives.
Okay, so you carry a name which indicate that you are your father's child. And then you carry a name which indicates that you are a part of this particular family.
Yes, yes, that's it.
Okay, that's good. So, Jesse, you know, we happened to meet online. I can't remember. I remember it may have been like 2017, and I'm not even sure why we started to interact. But you did. You sent me a message, and you said to me, you know, can I be your mentor? And I said, I mean, I was totally surprised that anyone out there would want to ask me that in any way. You know, so far, especially, I said yes. And you know, for what it's worth, we have maintained some level of a relationship, and so we have been back and forth. You know, what has the experience been like for you? For me personally, I totally enjoy it. You know, for anybody on this side of the world who knows me, know that, you know, I'm deeply into, you know, everything Africa. And so, you know, I have enjoyed the interaction with you. What has been your experience?
Actually, the experience has been great. Like, you've pushed me to do so many things that ordinarily on my own, I would not have taken the step to actually start doing that. But with your articles and even personal interactions, sometimes phone calls, WhatsApp, Facebook, you've actually encouraged me, and I actually enjoyed it a lot. I enjoyed it a lot, yeah. Really.
So now you know, you tell me that this is your first time on radio. You have never been on a radio program before. You know, and I sense the hesitancy, but you know, radio is just that. You know, you just talk to us like, you know, you're talking with your friend on the football field. I know you're a footballer. But tell us a little bit more about yourself, Jesse. How would you describe you?
Okay. I'm Jesse Kennedy. Let me start this way. Someone that loves business. I love business a lot, and already I'm into business. I'm actually a student, love computing. So I'm studying computer science in Modibo Adama University of Technology, Yola Adama State here in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. We can hear you. Go ahead.
And I'm someone that also loves writing. That's one of the things that prompted me to start blogging. And I choose to blog on a niche in which I have passion for, that is business.
Mm-hmm.
And I write about business on my blog.
So you're a business blogger, and you know, you have this passion for business. Let's talk a little bit about where we kind of met first, when you had this peanut business. How is that going? Is it still in play? Have you given up on the peanut business? What's happening with that?
Yeah, right now I'm no more in the peanut business, though I've left completely. But I started that for a reason, actually.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, I wanted to start my blog, and then I didn't have money to set it up. So the best thing I have to do is to use what I have to get what I want.
Mm-hmm.
So I started the peanut business to raise money, actually, to start my blogging business. And I was able to raise money. I started the first blog, which I named it Blog Nigeria Site. And then because I didn't have much experience in that, I failed at the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But after about a year or so, I started a new one, which is the one I'm currently working on, my entrepreneursguide.com.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one that has actually picked up, and I'm not going to give up on this.
Okay. So you started from pretty much zero. And I remember conversations we were having about, you know, how to distribute your peanuts and whether or not you should, you know, place it at a shop on consignment. And I was totally flying blind, right? Because I have no idea where you were. I have no idea how the shops work, you know. But we were talking about things like, you know, setting up the business, doing it on consignment, making sure you're not just selling peanut, but you give it a particular name and a particular brand. You know, let's go back to that a little bit. And I'm doing this for a reason. You know, as As you went through that process, what were some of the things that you learned? What were some of the things that you appreciated about business and growing and failing and stumbling?
Yeah, the thing I appreciated the most about business, and that's one of the greatest lessons I've learned so far, is like if having a brand name and something like a logo,
mm-hmm.
if your business don't have a brand name, then I will say you are almost not in a business. Immediately, I took on your advice to get a brand name for my peanut and like something like a logo. I started that. I put it inside the letter I put, the peanut. And then, okay, people see it. It looks more professional. The packaging is good. And then they started patronizing. Immediately, I started using the name. I named it Victory Notes. Mm-hmm. Then immediately I started, my phone number was there, the ingredients, the nutrients and all that I put it on it. And people start patronizing more than when I didn't have a brand name.
Right. Because everybody else was selling peanuts, but you were selling Victory Nuts.
I was selling Victory Nuts.
Yes. a significant difference. And, you know, I like the fact, and, you know, one of the reasons I have Jesse here, obviously, if you would understand that, yes, we have a connection. Yes, he referred to me as a mentor. I actually don't refer to him as a mentee. I call him my young lion. And so he's an individual that I've, you know, kind of understood from afar. He obviously is in Nigeria. I've never been to Africa. We'll get there one day. And, you know, he will have a big mansion and he'll have my room available for me to sleep. But definitely, one of the main reasons I wanted to have this conversation today is for especially young people to understand that regardless of where you are in the world, the issues are still the same. And it is possible. The truth is where we are today in the Bahamas, the resources are greater than where Jesse is in Nigeria. Now, Nigeria may be a richer country than the Bahamas because of oil and all of that sort of thing, but it has its own set of challenges. And individuals in those countries vary wide and far, from the mega rich to the absolutely poor persons living in abject poverty. But for the individual who decide, I am going to be successful, the individual who decide that I want to get to a particular place, I want to achieve something, then starting from peanuts. You ever hear someone say, I'm not going to work for peanuts? Which is a term used to indicate how small the amount is. Well, here is a young man who wanted to be a blogger, who wanted to do some additional things from an entrepreneurial point of view, who didn't have the money, but he started nonetheless. And then he set out to ask for support. He just happened to find me, and I don't know how, but, you know, I'm sure there are many, many other persons around the world who are way better capable and qualified. But that doesn't matter. He asked me and I said yes. And therein is another lesson. When you are in a position to help someone, it's not always about money. It's not always about physical things. It's not sometime doing a lot. It's just simply saying yes to an individual and taking very, very small time, but quality time to make sure that you help them along the way. So, Jesse, you're now moving forward and you are into your second blog. The first blog failed. Why did it fail? Did you go back and analyze it? Did you go back and take a good look at what the problems were? You know, why was it that at that point in time, you know, what you wanted to do was a total failure compared to the type of success that you are realizing today?
Yes. Something I've learned from the failure of the first blog is that before you start anything, make sure you get the right knowledge to kickstart.
Mm-hmm.
That was what failed me. I didn't have enough knowledge to run the blog. I just run it blindly, let me say. And then to some extent, I wasn't getting much traffic. Google isn't paying attention to me and all that. And you see, if you're not getting traffic and Google isn't friendly with your blog at all, then
you mean Google?
Yes, Google.
Yeah. I know we have an accent translation, so I'll translate for you. Google, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Go ahead.
Okay, and then if they are frowning at your site, then definitely you are not going to amount to anything when it comes to the internet. So I closed that down and I took some courses online on blogging. And after that, I sought for ways to improve myself before launching this one. And after I launched that, it's been good. It's been great. And because of the lessons I learned, I never wanted others to pass through what I passed. So I went ahead to create a blogging course that would like set people on the way to blogging, regardless.
Yeah. So you are now helping other persons to do some of the things that you're doing, and you're doing that on the basis of having gone through that experience.
Yes.
Yeah. How old are you, Jesse?
I'm 21.
You're 21, so you're a relatively young man. If I could be 21 again, you know, I think the world would have to worry a little bit, right? But you know, my days are done, past and gone. But at 21, what are you looking to do? What is it that you see yourself as in the next 20 years? And you know, when you look at yourself and look out at the world from the perspective of Nigerians, specifically where in the place in Nigeria that you live, you know, are you highly confident that, you know, this success that you dream of is realizable?
I'm 100% confident that everything is realizable. And in the next 20 years, I'd like to see myself like giving back to the community in terms of education. If you look at Africa and Nigeria, and in Nigeria, especially the northern Nigeria where I'm living now, the level of education is too low, so low that people need help when it comes to education. And coupled with the terrorism here, they are outrightly against the Western education. So I'll try by all means, once I realize this success, to make sure that I help people in terms of education, getting their businesses from off the ground, and that's all.
So you see yourself as, in a way, a trailblazer, not just for your own benefit, but you are preparing yourself now, you're preparing yourself early. And I think I've seen you made posts on Facebook in this direction. You're trying to prepare yourself early so that you can be valuable to others, you know, at a relatively young age, but you have given yourself sufficient time to grow and develop with the view of giving back.
Yes, something I discovered in life is that we're not in this world to live for ourselves. If we were to live for ourselves, then it's maybe only one human being that would have been on Earth. We're here to support each other in ways that we can. So I'll live my life to see that I help others, the less privileged, get education.
Definitely. As I listen to you, young man, I'm extremely proud of you. I am extremely proud and blessed for the fact that somewhere, somehow, you came across my name on Facebook and you choose to reach out. You know, I've seen you, I've watched you grown, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But let's take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to get into some other aspects of Jesse Zoka, the individual, the young man from Nigeria, northern Nigeria, and he is making some waves. And we're having this conversation because we want to, one, to highlight his performance. We want to, two, to show the power of radio in reaching across nations, in reaching out into the international world. But we also want to show, more importantly, the value of having a dream, of working hard at it, and the fact that you can start from zero. You can start from little or nothing. And absolutely nothing is impossible. You hear what Jesse said. Jesse said he's 100% confident that his dreams, his goals will be realized. What about you? What about you who may be in a superior position, who is more well endowed with resources, compared to what he has. And you may be doubting yourself. I want you to listen. I want you to stay tuned. I don't want you to move. And if you have a question or you have a comment for Jesse, then certainly the numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Or you can text us at 422-4796 as we continue to have this wonderful conversation and celebrate my father, Baluz, and my teacher, Miss Dellis Brown. You're listening to The Essentials, The Reset. Don't move. Come right back.
Enjoy an elevated mobile experience with BTC giving you
unlimited talk for the best conversations,
unlimited data for all your online fun,
and unlimited roaming to stay connected while overseas
for just $50 per line.
Unlock unlimited mobile talk, data, and roaming when you sign up for BTC super fast fiber internet with speed starting at 100 megabits per second. Enjoy more great savings and value. Upgrade or sign up today. Visit any BTC store or btcbahamas.com. Conditions apply.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
For the best jerk in the Bahamas, you must have Baluz. Pork, fish, and chicken served with our delicious country-style sauce and authentic festivals. Baluz, Nassau East South, call or WhatsApp 376-8951. Baluz, the jerk with the soul of reggae and the spirit of Junkanoo. Baluz jerk, traditional, slow-cooked to perfection. 376-8951. Get yours today.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to The Essentials, The Reset, as we listen to Tina Turner. We don't need another hero. I certainly don't need any other hero. We have many. I have many. I mean, it's true. We could use one or two others. But in the scheme of things, this teacher that I speak of was one of my heroes, remain one of my heroes to this very day. Miss Dellis Brown. And certainly my father is one of my heroes. I've learned so much from her. I've learned so much from him, watching him, dealing with struggle, fighting through humble circumstances, you know, but always progressing, always never, ever giving up. And I think, if anything, I've taken from my father is that quiet resilience, relentless type of a spirit. Very, very quiet. No noise, not making up any type of a thing. But, you know, that's how it is. The whole idea is, certainly, that as you go through life, you're going to interact with individuals. You're going to come across persons. And if they're good enough, you know, hopefully you could see within them the possibility of being a hero. But you don't have to be at that level. But in an unequivocal way, in an unequivocal way, Miss Brown was one of my heroes and remain one still. Jesse, as we get back to you and we talk about this idea of Africa, I want to get from you a sense of how you see the continent as you look out, as you interact with the world. You may not have traveled out of Africa, I don't know. You will tell us. But as you look across through Facebook, social media, through television, how are you seeing Africa in its development, in its growth, in its challenges, and the role it may have to play in the wider scheme of the overall scheme of the world?
All right. Let me start by talking about me traveling out of Africa. Actually, I've never traveled out of Africa, not even Nigeria, not yet.
Okay.
I've not traveled.
That will happen soon.
Yeah, by God's grace, that will happen soon. Yeah, and talking about Africa, the way Africa is right now, well, Africa is still a developing continent, I must say. Though there are some nations that have advanced a little in Africa, but a lot needs to be done in Africa compared to the outside world, Europe, America, mm-hmm. and Asia. I'm currently getting their acts together.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of opportunities here in Africa, considering considering Africa being in the development stage. Anything that is in the development stage, like if you put the effort, you'll be like the pioneers to doing that thing, and it will give you a lot of opportunities and exposure to be great and make something like good for the people.
Yeah. So there's still ground floor opportunities. It's almost like green field, rich, empty canvas in many ways for an individual who want to stamp their name or stamp their mark on the world to do so from the platform of Africa. That's what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And where do you see yourself in this whole scheme? You say, you know, you've given yourself about another 20 years and you will get to the place where you want to be. You'll be able to reach back. And obviously, you actually doing that now. You start reaching back, start to help in person. But, you know, dream. Let's dream a little bit. Where do you see Jesse in Africa? You know, we tend to use Africa, and you know, persons from Africa will tell us, well, Africa is a big old continent. But on this side of the world, we just say Africa. We don't matter about Nigeria and thing, unless you know some football game is going on or something specific. But how do you see you in the grand scheme of things from Africa in the rest of the world?
Well, I see myself as one of the greatest leaders, like in the next 20 years. Yes, I see myself as one of the greatest leaders in Africa who will lead the way for Africa to develop and get their acts together and to some extent stop depending on other nations and continents for some things like drug, even education and water supply.
Mm-hmm. Good. I have a texter here who says, evening. Please ask your guests, how do Africans view us in the diaspora? Do they talk about us, the stolen ones, or do they see us as foreigners? I know that within Africa itself, there is discrimination against each other, but how do they view Africans in the diaspora? Do they look up to us or vice versa? Long question, but how do you see, you know, black people on this side of the world, persons of the African diaspora? We had a conversation this, I think it was yesterday, and you were mentioning the fact that maybe, you know, there's a drop of Nigerian blood in this for me, right? And I was saying, you know, well, you know, I think it's just totally African. But how do you see us in the diaspora? What are the conversations which take place around the fireside, in the yard, on the football ground, when you think about individuals within the Caribbean, within the United States, within other countries where there are significant, Afro descendants?
Okay, Africans here see the ones outside as their own brothers who were taken away forcefully by the whites. That's how they see it. And whenever a black man does something, especially maybe in football or something, Africans here are always proud. This is our blood. This is this. This is this. Sometimes they try to link them with a particular nation. No, this person's origin is from this nation.
Yeah.
So you see them celebrating. We celebrate black Americans and like people in Brazil and all this. We celebrate them a lot. We see them as brothers and we don't discriminate against them.
Yeah, so sometimes you look at the shape of their head and say, you know, that one is an Igbo. Or you say, you know, this one look like he come from Ghana or this one is from Niger, right?
Yeah, sometimes by looking at, okay, the body structure, the shape of the head and all that, sometimes the hair, you can look at it and say, okay, this is an Igbo or Yoruba or someone from Cameroon or Gabon, something like that.
Yeah, that's interesting. So yes. You're growing up in Nigeria. You're a young man at 21. What are some of the issues which concern you as a youth in that country?
Well, the greatest thing youths are facing here in Nigeria is lack of employment. A youth can graduate from the university and spend almost the rest of his life without gaining employment, except if you go out there and create something for yourself.
So you're saying a university graduate?
Yes. I'm talking about a university graduate.
A university graduate, and you know, I like to watch African movies, and I sometimes pick up on these things where the question is always asked or statement is always made. So you are a graduate, and that is a distinguishing thing between an individual who didn't get trained to tertiary level. But the possibility is that that individual struggles significantly. And as you are indicating, in some instances, may never find a job.
Yes, it happens like that. You go to the school. The school system here is a little tough. You offer 8-10 courses under the hot sun. The you understand the weather here is just harsh, and at the end of the day, you graduate. And some people have given up on seeking government jobs. So they go out there and try to create things for themselves instead of depending on the government.
And government, as you mentioned, government job. So government plays a significant role at the national and the various, I don't know what you refer to them as, local government levels in Nigeria. These are powerful people. How do you see that? I've seen many instances where Nigerians become very engaged and very energetic in discussion around the government and the need for change and the need for improvement. As a country, is it getting better? Is it getting worse? Is there improvement? Are there opportunities? While it may be tough today, do you see opportunities emerging for individuals in your generation such that when you get down the road 20 years from now, it's certainly going to be better? When you graduate from a university as a computer scientist, do you anticipate that it will be better for you?
Yes, definitely. It's going to be better because the youths now are kind of fed up with everything that is happening in the country. So definitely, most youth today are fighting hard to get into politics and leadership positions so that they can make changes, they can bring changes, lasting changes to the system.
Mm-hmm.
So other people that are coming behind or coming from the next generation after us will not have to pass through what we are passing through right now.
Yeah. Is this a genuine fight, though, Jesse? Is it a genuine fight to make change, or persons are going in there for their own selfish reason? As you know, we look, I don't want to say, you know, unnice things about your country, but generally across Africa, we see government and we hear news about, you know, significant levels of corruption and dealings and that sort of thing. Are these young people serious about breaking the back of these things and kind of wrestling the country into a more gentler environment for the generations that will follow?
Yeah, you can't say 100% are going there for the right reasons, but we can have up to 80% who are pushing to go there for the genuine reasons to make things easier for the next generation to come.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's good to hear, because, you know, sometimes from this distance, we get the negative news and we kind of, you know, lump everybody in one, and we never necessarily spend enough time to kind of drill below that and get an understanding of, you know, what the positives are, what are the things which have been planted, whether or not there's some green shoots. But here you are as a young man and as a young emerging leader saying that you are confident, you're you know, highly optimistic that there's going to be some fundamental change, especially in your country, coming soon.
Yeah, definitely. I myself is dreaming of going to politics someday so that I'll bring some of the changes, because if you stand and say you do it from, like, not from a government position or something like that, it should be tough for you. But if you're in the government, like, you bring policies that will make it easier for businesses to thrive and also for education to thrive as well, for education, health, and even some development when it comes to electricity, road, and the people's welfare.
Yeah. Describe for us, Jesse, so that you know, we can have a feel. We don't know there, but describe for us what's a typical day in your community? How are a typical week? You mentioned something which just piqued my interest, and you talk about electricity. And you know, we here in the Bahamas, we have relatively reliable, but sometimes it goes off, and it goes off at the wrong time. It goes off for a long period of time, sometimes shorter periods. But, you know, what is a typical day? What is a typical experience with the bus system, with electricity, with telephone, with internet connectivity? How is that experience?
Well, it's, for me, I would say it's terrible. For someone who is into blogging and internet things, It's very, very terrible here. Sometimes light or the electricity will go off, and you might have to wait 2 or 3 days. Sometimes it doesn't come. A little wind blows. They tell you it has kind of caught somewhere. The light is off. You have to wait for them to repair it. And then talking about connectivity, the internet, well, it's getting better now. As you can see, I'm using the internet, and we are not having issues. But it's not all over Nigeria. There are some places you go here, and then you don't have access to the internet at all. You don't have light. no road and all that. But I know definitely with time, all these things are going to improve and stop.
So the general infrastructure, you would say, even though the Nigeria technically is a relatively rich country with oil, with a lot of natural resources, the general infrastructure is at this point in time underdeveloped, you would say?
Yes, there's some. Yes, it's underdeveloped.
So where is the difference? Is it, you know, as we are more familiar with, you know, hearing about Lagos and the big city. Which are the big cities? Where is the wealth concentrated? Where in Nigeria is showing the greatest level of development, or has shown the greatest level of development?
Well, it's Abuja and Lagos. Mm-hmm. That's Abuja, the capital of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And Lagos was the capital of the nation before 1990. Then it was transferred to Abuja.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the development there is okay because they tend to develop the capital cities more.
Right.
And then the electricity supply there is fair. Sometimes they get up to 18 to 22 hours electricity supply. Mm-hmm. But I can't tell, not 24 hours.
So on average, you have electricity for how many hours per day, on average?
It depends on the place you are,
mm-hmm.
and also the state. But from where I am here in Shefa, on average, we get about 18 hours of electricity.
So on average, every single day, you are off for 6 hours?
Yes.
Yeah, wow. It's interesting to hear that because, you know, there are some young people and not so young people like myself who, you know, that would be like living in hell. You know, I don't think we could survive on average with losing electricity for 6 hours every day on average. And, you know, in some instances, you say it's like over a longer period. The question...
Yeah, sometimes...
Go ahead.
Yes, sometimes you can go like 2-3 days or even a week without electricity. I remember back in 2018, we went like 6 months without electricity and we are fine.
And you all survived. 6 months without electricity. I can tell you if that happened in the Bahamas, you will not find the Bahamas where it's currently located because the people would shout so much, it would certainly move to someplace closer to where, you know, we could connect wires and get electricity. I honestly believe that. Now, Jesse, in all of this whole discussion, you're talking about you being a young man, you're going to school as a computer, seeking to become a computer expert, you're a blogger. But one of the things which I like about the way you describe yourself as an up-and-coming leader. What does that entail, and what are some of the things which you have done today to convince yourself or to evidence to others that you are really and truly an up-and-coming leader?
Okay. Talking about convincing others that I'm an upcoming leader, like going back to the school system, that's in the university in which I'm studying, in Adamawa State, the place is about 4 to 5 hours drive away from this place. Last year, I served as the PRO of the department. That's the Departmental Association, National Nigerian Association of Computers, Computing Students. And I believe that I've shown a level of competence and the students believed in me, and this time around, I contested the president of the department, and they wholeheartedly voted for me.
So you're the big man on campus. Whatever you run, you win.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Where do you see yourself in this world of computers? You're studying computer science. You know, what type of a niche, if you will, specialization do you intend to take from this, and why?
Yeah, web development.
Okay.
Yeah. Africa is still developing, and we need more businesses online. And here in Africa, I don't see that we have enough web developers. So I want to go into web development so that I can help businesses come online.
Mm-hmm.
Because as of last year, the COVID-19 pandemic has shifted the world totally to go online.
Mm-hmm.
I was initially thinking of, okay, I want to go into AI and all that. But yes, web development too crosses the road with AI, but still I changed that completely. I said, okay, I want to go into web development so that I'll help businesses in my locality, and especially in Nigeria, go online so that they'll be able to thrive.
Yeah. How is Nigeria coping with the COVID crisis? How has it impacted Nigeria in general, your era in specific? From a on the continent perspective, you know, what are some of the cries? What are some of the woes? What are some of the opportunities? You know, you mentioned this opportunity in embracing at a deeper level the technology, but what else is there, especially from a young person's perspective?
Sorry?
You didn't hear that?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah, I'm saying, you know, how is Nigeria coping with the COVID crisis? And, you know, what are the opportunities that you're seeing on the ground? What are some of the challenges, both specific to Nigeria and to the wider Africa, as you experience this, as you hear it being there on the continent?
Okay. Currently, I would say that Nigeria is almost out of the COVID-19 pandemic, because there's no more lockdown now. We are no more using face masks in school. Yeah, we are almost out, if not out of it. And then talking of the challenges, well, I must say Africa is lucky. COVID-19 pandemic didn't hit so hard as it did in Europe and America in Africa. If it had done that, I don't know if there will still be a single human being standing on the soil of Africa.
Why you say
because
that?
Because the health sector here is good. And
hello?
I don't know the nature of the health sector. It's not as one. I mean, America. And, but thankfully, it didn't hit so hard. So the effect when it comes to the number of deaths isn't as high mm-hmm. as Europe and America.
Yeah. So you believe, given the state of the healthcare sector, you know, the
and
Africa's...
Actually,
go ahead.
It's needed, but when it comes to the COVID-19, someone can contract COVID-19 and without even going to the hospital, without taking any medication and all that, they'll just treat themselves at home with hot water and all that, and COVID-19 disappears.
You're serious? So there's a lot of home treatment which takes place in Nigeria, in where you are, for COVID-19?
Yes.
Yeah, is it? Why you think that is so, though? Because on this side of the world, you know, some of that takes place, but for the most part, we are always looking to the healthcare system for relief. Is it a question of availability that, you know, it don't even make sense you go to the hospital because you won't get sorted out, or is it just culturally different, or is there a certain level of knowledge which is resident with Nigerians, with Africans, which allow them to be able to medicate themselves, to treat themselves?
Well, that's, as I said earlier, the health sector is somehow weak, and talk about COVID-19 testing here in Nigeria. I'm very sure that more than 50% of Nigerians has never taken a COVID-19 test. Mm-hmm. But if they feel the symptoms, somehow they feel the symptoms and tell you, okay, this is how they say the symptoms is, mm-hmm. it means, okay, I must have contracted COVID-19. So most of the times what they do is they get some herbal things, warm it, take it and all that, and most of them are fine. So some people didn't even take medications. For myself, I don't know if I've ever contracted COVID-19. I've never taken a test. I didn't feel the symptoms. I didn't feel anything. So I've never taken it. Just that, though, I took precautions. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I've contracted that and then it left me without treatment. Because something we see here is, in all the malaria endemic areas, COVID-19 didn't thrive as much.
Yeah, I think there's an argument out there that there's some type of a relationship between persons who are used to the treatment for malaria, and I'm not sure what the science may be behind that. So I won't dive into it, but it's interesting to get your perspective. Let us take ourselves another break, maybe our final break, and when we come back, we continue this conversation. Wonderful conversation we are having all the way across the waters. We are here in the Bahamas, in the Caribbean. We're having this conversation from across the continent. Isn't it wonderful how technology allows us to do that and do that very cost-effectively these days? On the live line is Jesse Kanandi Zoka. And he is from Nigeria, young student, young up-and-coming leader, his own style, and a man who started out as selling peanuts, victory nuts, and now he is a successful blogger. Won some awards along the way, been awarded along the way for that. So let's take this break, and when we come back, we will continue our discussion, and we continue our celebration of our teacher, and certainly of the one and only Balu's, my father. Come right back.
Enjoy an elevated mobile experience with BTC giving you
unlimited talk for the best conversations,
unlimited data for all your online fun,
and unlimited roaming to stay connected while overseas.
For just $50 per line,
unlock unlimited mobile talk, data, and roaming when you sign up for BTC Superfast Fiber Internet with speed starting at 100 megabits per second. Enjoy more great savings and value. Upgrade or sign up today. Visit any BTC store or btcbahamas.com. Conditions apply.
Sign up for CostRight membership and join the Savings Club. As a member, you get access to exclusive discounts on your favorite grocery club packs, appliances, electronics, outdoor living, and so much more. Whether shopping for your home or business, you can enjoy low warehouse prices on quality name brand products. Your CostRight membership also allows you to save at other participating businesses, and Gold Card members can earn an annual 2% reward up to $500. Sign up for the CostRight membership card today and let the savings begin.
For the best jerk in the Bahamas, you must have Balu's. Pork, fish, and chicken served with our delicious country-style sauce and authentic festivals. Balu's, Nassau East South. Call or WhatsApp 376-8951. Balu's, the jerk with the soul of reggae and the spirit of Junkanoo. Balu's jerk, traditional, slow-cooked to perfection. 376-8951. Get yours today.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Can't ball in a life, man. Go on with it, but go on with it.
Yo, DJ, are you kidding me?
To us, yeah. So we are coming with a force, yeah. Blessings we are reaping, we coursing on full. Oh, in a rise and boast. Yeah, we give thanks like we need it the most. We have to give thanks like we really supposed to be thankful. Blessings all for my life and my thank God for the journey, the earnings, not just for the plus. And gratitude is a must.
And welcome back to The Essentials, The Reset, as we listen to Coffee. Blessings fall on Marite, and we have to give thanks for the journey. And certainly along that journey was Miss Brown. And we give thanks for that moment. We give thanks for the fact that she was there. We give thanks for the fact that she had opportunities or the willingness to intervene in important moments. We give thanks for her pouring into us, into me, into others, so that today we are in a position to be better human beings. And of course, at the beginning, there was my father, Balus. We refer to him as many persons call him. Many other name, I just refer to him as the whistling man, 24/7. The sweet sound of the whistling man still echoes from the hills and the flats. From deep inside the covering foliage of the plants, he tends. From the perch of his chair as he rests from a day of labor. From the pedestal of his stool as he anchors over the counter of the shop, whistling, smiling, confident, proud, 24/7, all day, every day. Keep smiling from up high, whistling man. That's to you, Pops. And so we also want to send some tribute, and I'm reading from my book of poems, just to... to say thanks, to say we appreciate the fact that, you know, our lives intersected. Of course, you know, your life have to intersect with your father. So he's there from the beginning or before the beginning. But certainly this lady, Miss Brown, this one is for you, essentially African. Africa flows from her lips, her image, black, strong, confident, yet fragile, but seemingly unbreakable. Her thoughts play out a comforting symphony, music from the heart of Africa. Her words weave a picturesque view of a time past. From the orchestra of her minds, she connects on a spiritual plane with rhythmic beats, thought-provoking decibels, primal heart-thumping truths, truths that quietly whisper in a crescendo, to awake the chords of her ancestry, her face etched with the radiance of the motherland, wise to our story, confident, regal. She calls on the God of our ancestors with the clarity of the ages. She is essentially Africa. Miss Dellis Brown. Jesse, how are you doing, sir? You still here with us? That is... a couple of readings from my book, Whispers of a Country Boy from Benin to the World. So we want to continue this conversation. Jesse, the outlook, we talked earlier about you and leadership. So let's take it outside of you and let's talk about this more broadly. When you reflect on the idea of being a leader, on the topic of being a leader, what are some of the things which, come to mind? Who are some of the people... works that you read, that you study? What is it that you're doing to develop yourself as a leader?
Well,
Hold on. Before you go, we have a call on the line. Let's take this call. Caller, go ahead.
Recorder, he's battling to try and get on. Hello.
Hello, go ahead, caller.
Yes, is that Calvin Green?
Pardon me?
Is that Calvin Green?
No, there's no Calvin Green.
Wrong number.
Oh, man. Sorry about that. Certainly, person calling in on the wrong number. So, Jesse, go ahead. Let's talk about leadership for a bit.
Yeah, talking about leadership, I study books a lot on leadership. I read the works of Miles Morrow.
Mm-hmm.
I also read about Barack Obama. I check leaders, African leaders, people like Nelson Mandela and Nnamdi Azikiwe of Nigeria, their leadership style, how they are, how resilient they are, especially Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
This is someone I learned from him is he's so fearless, so bold, and he's always firm to his demands. And this is the kind of leader I want to be. I don't want to be intimidated in any way.
Mm-hmm.
I know once you're standing for something, you're going to be intimidated by some people. I want to be like that, to always stand firm for the people till I get what the people really need.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned Mandela. I mean, we would expect, if you're selecting an African leader, then certainly Mandela must be in there. But it's interesting that you, in talking about him, you talk about resilient leader. Because there's a school of thought within the realm of leadership which refers to a resilient leader. It's a model, if you will. And one of the things which is most important about that is it's really a little bit of a deceptive term. Because when you hear the idea of resilient, you figure, well, this is someone who sticks with it and who can persevere and who will be in it for the long haul. And that's a part of it. That's a part of this whole idea of being a resilient leader. But at the core, a resilient leader is really one who Mandela, you know, is really the essence of. And that's an individual who really set out and seek to take care of those around him, to put the well-being of others before him, to understand that regardless of what is happening in his life, regardless of what is happening now, he's willing to work over the long haul, but at a fundamental level, at every single step, always choosing to ensure that the well-being of others is going to be taken care of. If you are going to be impactful in Africa, Jesse, given, you know, what I know about Africa from a distance, given the environment, given sometimes some of the tumultuousness which is experienced there, then you will have to display some of, well, you definitely have to display standards like that. You'll definitely have to display characteristics like that at a very, very deep level. Are you ready? Are you seriously ready for that type of a thing?
Yeah, I'm ready for that. That's why I'm already developing myself when it comes to leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Because Africa, I don't know in the Bahamas and Europe or America, if you face so much opposition and threats when it comes to you going into politics or something like that. But here in Africa, it doesn't matter the level. It can be at this like the school level. You face some threats, you face huge opposition, very strong one, but you have to just stand. If you are really in for it, if you're only standing for the people, you have to really stand and fight your way through. And I believe that is what has just happened last week in our election. I just had to stand firm, and I got through.
Yeah, in one of the things as you look towards your future leadership, you know, we talked earlier about this whole issue of corruption, and so transparency and accountability are issues which are obviously very, very important. How do you know? What are your views on that? And you know, do you see the day when Nigeria and the greater African continent display a greater level of development in the leadership arena, where you know we can more trust our leaders, when we can have more confidence in the organs of government, whether it's at the national level or the local level, where we can have greater confidence even at the tribal or communal level? Do you envision that time?
I really do. I really do. We just talked about that one just before the second break, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, a time will come that Nigerians or Africans will trust their leaders, especially the upcoming leaders of this generation who are really tired of what's happening in the government, who are already calling on government to resign, be impeached, and all that, some protests here and there. it's a sign that, okay, I'm tired of all the happenings in the government and we need a change. African youths are really seeking for a change in the government, in everything in Africa, the health sector, sports, and everything. So definitely that time will come when Africa will trust its leaders.
And the distrust which prevails today is largely driven by what?
Sorry?
The distrust which prevails today. You're saying there will come a time when persons will trust the leader. So currently there's not much of that. What is the main thing driving the distrust between the leaders and the rest of the population?
Well, for me, Africa made a mistake of sending, well, I don't want to use this word, but let me just, like, they made a mistake of sending hungry stomachs into government. These are people that are so selfish and greedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got into the office and then most of them, not all, most of them forget about the people. They only look at their own families and their friends.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to loot the treasury of the government, that's of the people. And that's what causes all this. And it even leads to like insecurity and all that. Because if you're not giving someone what he deserves and then hunger creeps in, definitely the person will be like tempted to do some crazy things. So I'm sure when that time comes, all this will stop.
And you see yourself as a part of the solution, and there are obviously many more individuals like you. When you get together with your peers, when you get together with like-minded youths, are you having these type of a conversation? Are you saying, you know, we're dreaming of a new Africa, we're dreaming of a better day, and here are the things that we're going to do, and we are committing ourselves to not be like the generation that went before us. We're about making fundamental change, and, you know, we're going to be very serious about this, and we are going to hold each other accountable. Is this the type of conversations which are happening?
Yeah, definitely. We always have this kind of conversation, and we're already practicing that when it comes to the leadership at the school level. You always have to be transparent, show the people where you're putting their money. They are seeing things on ground. This is what we are using your money for. Unlike in the government right now, in which sometimes some projects will be called. Okay, we did this, we did that, but sometimes you don't get to see the projects, and that is how they are. But among my peers, my friends whom are of like minds, we discuss all this. Mm-hmm. How we do things, how we'll be transparent, and how to tackle some corrupt individuals who will definitely find their ways through.
You mentioned earlier, so I have to come back to this because, you know, once you mentioned Miles Monroe, who's from right here in the Bahamas, you know, that piques our interest. You say you read about him. What is there a particular one of his works or his book, or is it that you're listening via YouTube? How are you consuming his material?
Yeah, I listen to his talks on YouTube. Some I read books.
Is there a particular book by Dr. Miles Monroe which you like, which you are deeply into, maybe your favorite?
Yeah, this The Power of Vision.
The Power of Vision. Talk to me. Tell me a little bit about that. What are some of the lessons that you would have gleaned from this?
Yeah, I learned that as a leader, you, like someone leading people, you have to have that kind of vision to see things before, mm-hmm. and like to see things ahead of the people who are following,
mm-hmm.
so that you don't make mistakes and you don't drive them into some situations that they shouldn't be in.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, by having to see vision, it means you'll be able to with a striking degree of accuracy predict some happenings in the future, and you do everything possible to avert that.
Yeah. You have to do what I think one of the examples which he gave. You have to be able to see far than your eyes can see, to look further than your eyes can see, right?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. You know, it's always rather interesting. I know Dr. Miles Monroe is has been a very powerful influence in Nigeria and certainly on the African continent. And, you know, it's certainly always a pleasure to speak to someone from Africa, any country in Africa, and to hear that individual speak about, you know, listening to, consuming, and learning from this man who has impacted the world in such a very powerful way. If I was to ask you, outside of what we just discussed, you know, any one other particular nugget that you take with you every single day as you think about pursuing your leadership goals that you take from Dr. Miles Monroe, what would that be?
Courage.
Courage. Go ahead. Expand on that for us.
Yeah, yeah. In one of his books, I think it's Spirit of Leadership.
Mm-hmm.
He gave an example that if you have an army of sheep being led by a lion, then definitely they are going to defeat an army of lion led. How did he put it? I'm kind of forgetting.
Yeah, an army of sheep led by a lion will defeat an army of lions led by a sheep.
Yes. That's it. So it speaks of the courage.
Right.
So as a leader, you have to be courageous.
Mm-hmm.
And once a leader is courageous, definitely his followers are going to be courageous.
Right, right. And an important aspect of that is the difference that a leader makes. The leader is an important aspect in the transactions of life. Because the leader gives confidence, the leader brings out the best in other individuals, the leader inspires, the leader pushes, the leader cajoles in a good way, and the leader helps to get the results which other persons by themselves would not be able to achieve. So the lion leading the sheep gives the sheep its spirit. The sheep leading the lions does the same. And obviously, the outcome is going to be totally different. We're almost there, Jesse. We are coming to the final moments of the show. I just want to pause again to read another one of my poems. And again, this one is for Miss Brown and, you know, for anybody out there listening, especially if you're a teacher. This one is for you. It's not, you know, any powerful thing talking about teachers. It's just something I wrote and I figure, you know, let me share. Silent songs. There are those freeing moments when the songs of the birds are extra melodious, symphonic, rhythmic, beautiful, enchanting, pulsing, but silent to your ear. Their orchestra lost in the recess of your imprisoned mind. In a space where you only hear the thumping of your thoughts, amid the crescendo of incomprehensible thoughts, the orchestra plays on. The songs of the birds, melodious, symphonic, rhythmic, beautiful. If only you could hear. The music plays, vibrant and sweet, outside the prison of your shackled minds. And for that poem, this is where teachers are important. Because as students, we hear a lot which we don't understand. But teachers help us to unlock. We hear sounds, we hear rhythms, we hear movements. Teachers help us to put it together, to make it make sense. And at the end of the day, that's why teachers are so invaluable. We can't do without them. There's no way society grows without teachers. And a teacher is anyone sometime who have the ability to teach you something. I'm here with Jesse and I'm learning from him. But we experience some others in a formal setting, those who we go into the classroom with. And tonight I celebrate one such lady. Miss Dellis Brown, as I do celebrate right alongside my father, the one and only Baluz. Most people here in the Bahamas don't know him, but you hear about Baluz all the time. And we certainly want to celebrate them. Both are born in this month, July. My father is born on the 17th, and she on the 15th. Jesse, we only have a couple more minutes, so I just want to give you a couple of final words. What would you like to say to, one, the people who are listening to you in Nigeria right now, and then secondly, what do you want to say to your brothers and sister on this side of the world listening to you in the Bahamas and in the Caribbean region?
All right, to the Nigerians listening to me, I really want to encourage them to stand firm by their dreams, never to get distracted. They shouldn't let anything distract them, because I know there are much distractions here in Nigeria or Africa. It's not as perfect as there in Europe and America, but they shouldn't let anything distract them. Everything is possible. You can achieve anything you set your mind to do. Just get the distractions away and focus.
Okay. And so that only leaves us for you to talk to now. So we have young people listening or will listen, because this is on social media or it will be on the internet. So we want to hear, what would you say to that young man who is listening with his mom, or his mom will draw his attention to this? What would you say to the individual who is a part of the African diaspora who may look to Africa for spiritual connection? What would you, as a brother, a young man, a young emerging leader, want to leave in the consciousness of us on this side of the world?
Yeah, I am calling on them to always stand firm. Like, okay, Africa is a nice place, actually. And I'm calling on them to not really come home. This place is not like more like a home to them anymore, but I'm calling them to maybe come and visit Africa, have a feel of what the culture is, and maybe you get to learn a lot from it, from your own origin. So the opportunity to come to Africa, come and learn more of the culture, and I'm very sure it's going to be a great experience for them.
Yeah, I hear you. For some of us, it is our spiritual home, it's our ancestral home, and we kind of feel that connection, or at least we try to maintain that connection in our thinking, in our discourse. But I certainly want to thank you, Jesse, as we wrap up, for staying up late into the night. I don't think it's too late in Nigeria right now, but certainly for staying up and having this conversation with us. I certainly enjoy it, and I want to take this opportunity to wish you all the best. I hope that if anything which comes from this show is that we can present you as an example of what is possible when an individual decides that they are going to do great things. You have decided that you are going to be a leader of the future. You have charted out a way, you have reached out, you have secured help, and you are putting in the work. It's evident. You're studying Dr. Miles Monroe, you're studying past leaders, Mandela, and so on and so forth. And that is what it takes for an individual to become good for the future. You have set yourself sufficient time. You say, well, within 20 years, you will be in a position to do certain things and to give back. But you're not just sitting back. You're making important small steps right here and right now. And that is, I believe, that is the fundamentally most important aspect of everything that I've observed from you. Because it's John Maxwell who says, what you become is not what you do in a day, but what you do every day. So you take it one day at a time. You read some, you study some, you try to improve. So every single day you become a little bit more, a little bit better, and you grow. And so I want to thank you for being here, and I want to encourage you to continue to, be a great human being, be a great young man, continue to work hard. And those individuals around you, those individuals that you have a level of influence over, I want you to continue to be that strong leader, the courageous leader that you speak about, and guide them in the right direction. And whatsoever it is that you do, whatsoever it is that you find yourself involved with, always be honest. Always lead with integrity. Always be transparent. Always be accountable first to yourself and then accountable to everyone else. Persons are trusting that you are going to be good in order that they will be good. As I always speak to you, it's about Ubuntu.
Ubuntu.
I am because we are. It's never about you, and it's never about me only. It's about us. So Jesse, thank you for being here. As we come to the end, and we want to wrap this up, and we've complete this with our final song, which goes out to Miss Brown. You know, I'm going to leave my father out of this for the moment, but this goes out to Miss Brown. I play this song when I'm on radio for my daughters, and so I am going to share this forever young. If you know this lady, she hasn't aged a single day since the day she taught me many, many years ago. You have been listening to The Essentials, The Reset. We always end by saying, do not allow your greatness to become a victim of your unwillingness to change. Good night.
Yes.